Welcome to the weekly podcast from City Light Church in Lethbridge. For more teaching or to find out more about life at CLC, please visit our website at citylightchurch.ca.
Thank you that you're here this morning. We're finishing our series called Disciple, Be One, Make One. So before we continue, let's pray. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for the blessing of Jesus and being in your house. And I pray that the privilege that we have in hearing your word, that we would not, we would take advantage of the opportunity every time to just be open to hear what you have to say. I believe you want to speak to us, so help us, Lord, not just to hear with our mind, but hear with our heart, believe with our heart. And then take this word and to put it to our feet and our hands. Thank you, Father, that you've called us not just to be hearers of the word, but to be what? Doers of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. My title this morning is Keep on Walking. Keep walking toward the cross. Disciples, keep walking toward the cross. When you think about the cross, in Jesus' day, nobody wanted the cross. But even in our day, today, we can have an uneasy relationship with the cross. But the fact is that the cross gets in the way. So we're going to go right to Mark's Gospel, chapter 8. In the middle of Mark's Gospel, chapter 8, if you read that Gospel, after all the Jesus' disciples had heard from him and had seen from him, there's this miracle moment in Peter's eyes, the Apostle Peter's eyes, when it seems like suddenly his spiritual blindness is healed. And it happens just a moment after, Jesus asks his disciples and he asks Peter, okay, who do you say I am? Now he's been asking this question, who do people say I am? And some of the disciples said, well, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, some say you're a great prophet. You know, but who do you say I am? And it was at that moment when suddenly, it's as if the cataracts literally fell from Peter's eyes. And in that moment he said, well, you're the Christ. How blind could we be? You're the Son of God. You're the one that God sent to deliver us and to give us peace. But then the cross got in the way. In the very next verse, Mark's Gospel chapter 8, verse 31, says, he then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after three days rise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. Get behind me, Satan, he said. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men. Now, Peter reacted so strongly when Christ told him, listen, they're going to kill me, I'm going to die, and I'm going to be buried. And so Peter reacted so strongly, of course, because if Jesus, the Messiah, if he suffers and he dies, you know, what good is that? What good will he be? Where's the hope in that if he dies? You see, the cross gets in the way. So Jesus had another shocker. The very next verse says, then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples. Now this crowd, they were people who were absolutely thrilled to be following Jesus. They were seeing jaw-dropping miracles. They were seeing demons like flushed out of people's lives like scared birds out of a thicket. They were hearing truths from Jesus that were so wonderful that literally it was changing their hearts, changing their minds about who God is, and giving them fresh, brand new, powerful truth. And to boot, this was just after, in Mark's Gospel chapter 8, when 4,000 men plus their families had spent three full consecutive days listening to this and listening to the incredible teaching of Jesus. And, you know, they'd been in for 3 days and they were full of the Word of God, but they were empty in their stomachs. They ran out of food and they were so hungry and they had a long ways to walk back to their hometowns. And so what did Jesus do? He fed them. Five loaves, two fish. And they saw another incredible miracle. I mean, this Jesus, how could you not love Him? He even cared for all their needs, even the most basic needs. You know, everybody wanted to follow Jesus. But who wouldn't want to follow Jesus? All the crowd, disciples alike, could not get enough of Jesus, you know? So when He began saying these words, "If any of you would like to be My disciples," they're like grinning at Him, they're smiling, and their hands are ready to wave and say, "Hey, pick me. But then again, the cross gets in the way. And Jesus says to them, "If anyone would come after Me, he must," what? "Deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me." You know, I suspect that at that moment, husbands were turning to their wives and says, "You know, it's getting late, pretty late, dear. I think we should pack up and go home." Right? Right? See, there are people who profess to follow Jesus. They say they believe in Him. They say they follow His teachings. They sing His praises. But they fail to see the cross in the way. Right? So before we can follow Jesus, Jesus makes it very clear that we must deny ourselves and take up our cross. Amen? Well, so what does that mean? What does it mean to deny yourself? It means that you give up your own agenda. That you give up doing life your way. Amen? And you're following Jesus, and you walk in this path that He has marked out for you despite all opposition, and you don't give up, and you don't get off the path. Amen? And you keep on walking towards the cross. You look at Jesus' life. Think about Jesus. He faced all kinds of opposition. Religious, demonic, I mean, you name it. All kinds of opposition. But the greatest opposition that He faced was the week before He went to the cross, when He literally had to push through huge walls of adversity and opposition or just to stay on the path and to just keep walking the path that God had marked out for Him. On the day before His death on the cross, it was Thursday, Jesus was with His closest disciples, with His small group friends. Right? And He said in Matthew 26:38, He said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with Me." These words, they literally expressed the struggle, the wrestle that was happening in Jesus' heart with the decision that he had made. This decision He'd been making for 33 long years to stay on the path and to walk the path that God had for them. And verse 39 says, going a little further, He fell with His face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from Me. Yet not as I will, but as You will." He says, "No, okay, God, I'm struggling, Father, but listen, Father, I want Your will to be done. Your will be done." He made a decision that affected destiny. Your destiny, my destiny, mankind. And He made that decision. And He set His face to go to Jerusalem. "Therefore, I have set My face like flint, and I know I will not be put to shame." Yeah, thank You, Jesus. We all have been given a path to walk and a cross to bear, right? Every single one of us have a path to walk and a cross to bear. And when you think about it, what is the most important thing? Where are we headed to? Where's our destination? Heaven. Which is more important right now? What should we be focused on right now? The destination or the path? We should be focused on the path, the journey. See, as much as the destination is important, the focus in our life as Christian should be on the path that we're walking on towards the destination. Amen? When you think about it, sometimes it's not about the destination, but it's about the journey itself. Decisions, everything that we do in this life matters, right? The destination is important, but how we walk with Jesus really matters. And the decisions and the choices that we make really matter, right? So we can talk about all that Jesus did. Think about what Jesus did. All the miracles that he did. All the miracles. The raising of the dead. The calming of the waters, right? Think of all the miracles that he did. Incredible miracles. All great demonstrations of faith. But I say this, perhaps the Jesus' greatest demonstration of his faith was his decision to keep on walking the path despite all opposition. Just think about it. You and I, we're here in church today. We are forgiven. We've been set free from sin, hell, and death. All because of what Jesus did. Right? I mean, we are righteous. We are right with God because Jesus kept walking toward the cross. Amen? I mean, we wouldn't even be here had it not been Jesus' decision to keep walking the path despite all opposition. One step at a time, one decision at a time to keep walking. And not just one decision, but a multitude of decisions that Jesus had to make every single day. Can I ask you this question? Are you thankful for Jesus? Are you thankful for Jesus? See, every decision that we make matters. Even the smallest decision can be vitally important. Every decision matters. You know, a good decision is like the right step in the right decision. Every good decision can be like a right step in the right decision. Every good thing that you get from God starts with a decision. See, decisions are, don't underestimate the power of a good decision. Even the smallest decisions can have huge impact on your life. Amen? Here's some, I'm going to give you a list of decisions that are, you might think they're small decisions, but they have incredible, huge impact in your life, and they will literally ripple into eternity. Are you ready for these? Number one. First decision that you need to be grateful, you know, you need to think about taking and making is this. Making that decision to go to church. You're here, so you've already made that decision, which is really good. It really matters. Church really matters. Because success begins on Sunday. Success begins on Sunday. You know, most people think that success is something that happens between Monday and Friday, right? At school or at home or in the office or in the business meeting, right? Or in that office meeting. But listen, you can have the greatest education. You can have, you know, you can have the greatest business, but you can still never know real success. Because true, lasting success has its roots deep in the house of God and in a relationship with Christ and His principles. Amen? That's where true, lasting success is. It matters. I say it matters for you to be in church. It matters for your children. It matters this year, next year. It matters into eternity, right? It really matters. And I say it matters to your soul. Psalm 63, verse 4. This is David, and he's singing. He says, I will praise you as long as I live. He's talking to God. and in your name I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with the richest of foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. It matters to be in church. Because you know why it matters? Because your soul is the greatest part of you. And your soul shrinks. Your soul atrophies if it's not being fed, if it's not drinking in God's presence. See, your soul needs to be in the presence of God, where it can feed on God's presence. It can take in God's presence. Your soul needs to be in an atmosphere where it can live and it could grow and it could be healthy. So every time you come to church, your soul gets fed, right? With the richest of fare. I like the way that the Message version sees it. So here I am in the place of worship, eyes open, drinking in your strength and glory. In your generous love, I am really living at last. My lips brim praises like fountains. I bless you every time I take a breath. My arms wave like banners of praise to you. And I eat my fill of prime rib and gravy. I smack my lips. It's time to shout praises. Don't you like that, the way that's written? You know, my soul is fed with the best meal ever that God can offer me. Amen? You know, every decision matters, even the little ones. Here's another decision that's really important. Deciding to hang out with the right people matters. Deciding to hang out with the right people matters. You know, and this decision can literally affect your destiny. And you say, yeah, but they're my friends. I cannot not be their friends. But listen, you can't walk the path that God has for you with people who are going in the opposite direction, right? You can't do that. And you need to say to them, listen, I can't walk the way and the path you're walking because I've made a decision to follow Jesus. Amen? So we need to be intentional about the people that we hang with, that they're the right people, because that decision will affect your eternity. And number three, deciding to be accountable to the right people. Accountability. Here's the definition of accountability. To give a word by word report, explanation, or reckoning of your life to God and to others. To give a word by word report, explanation, or reckoning of your life to God and to others. You know what I see lacking in the body of Christ today? Accountability. I see people making their own decisions and making bad choices. I see so many people making bad choices. You know what? I've made bad choices. You know what I've made bad choices? When I wasn't accountable. When I just went and did them by myself. Accountability is the process of you understanding that you are responsible for the choices that you make. Right? Listen, we are responsible to God and we're responsible to others for the choices that we make. Right? It's a process of understanding that. I say this, that accountability is a safeguard. Accountability is a safeguard. On the next PowerPoint, accountability to one another is the only way to safeguard yourself from three things. Number one, poor judgment. Number two, unconscious motivations. Number three, self-deception. Every single one of us are prone to all three. Who's prone to poor judgment sometimes? Right? You are all. Sometimes you do things from unconscious motivations, right? They're not God's motivations. They're just yours. You just feel you want something, you need something, so you go and get it because it, right? It's your unconscious motivation. And you justify it. Yeah, but, you know, I really needed that. And God knows I wanted that to be happy, right? And you do those. And deception. Sometimes you just can't see right. The enemy deceives you, right? So we need to be aware of those three things. And Proverbs 13:20, great proverb. Walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. Now, if you read the Bible, you'll hear these words like fool, foolish, folly being used in the Bible over 240 times. question. Like, what's God trying to say to us? We're prone to doing foolish things, right? So a fool is a person who repeatedly demonstrates the lack of sound judgment or basic common sense. And we can be all that way. I say this, we need to have people who are beyond our depth level of maturity. You need to have people beyond your depth level of maturity. You need to have people in your life who are older than you and more experienced, wiser than you, smarter than you, to help you make right choices. And the people that you hang with and that are around you, their depth level of maturity is less than yours, then when you need advice on a matter and you ask them, they're going to have nothing to tell you, or they're going to tell you something that's not right. Do you agree with that? We need people in our life to be accountable to, and relationship is the entry point to help people. We also need a strategy, and we need to plan our life. We need a plan to get from where we are to where we want to go. It takes planning. Three most common mistakes. Here's three most common mistakes that people make in their life's journey. Number one, they have no plan. It's like, que sera, sera, whatever will be. Talk to people. Ask them, what goals and plans do you have for the next 5 years, 10 years? A lot of people will say, I don't know. Whatever happens will happen, you know. So that's, you know, they have no plan. And so many people, it's so common for people not to have a plan to reach a desired destination. If you want to do anything, you've got to plan for it, right? Number two, second mistake, to not include others when planning. Proverbs 15:22. Plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors they succeed. Right? We need the other people. When you start making plans, let's ask other people, right? People we trust, people who are wise, before we make decisions. Amen? Number three, third mistake, to not include God when planning. That should be obvious. But so many times, people plan without asking God. I just heard somebody say, well, I think I'm just going to move. I'm just going to quit my job. I'm just going to move. I just feel, you know what? Have you asked God about that? Like, what are you doing with your life? We need to have a plan, have others included in the plan, and we need to ask God. Proverbs 16:3, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed. Right? All our choices have consequences, good or bad. Your life today is a product of the choices and the decisions that you made yesterday, right? And you're the one that's responsible. You can't, you know, it's not your past, not your present. You can't blame your mate or your ex-mate. It's all about making plans and being accountable. I say this, accountability. Accountability is needed to overcome spiritual failure. Accountability is needed to overcome family failure. Accountability is needed to overcome moral failure. We need to be accountable. Amen? You need other people in your life. Number four, last one. Do daily devotions to put the right things into your mind. Do daily devotions. Are you doing your daily devotions? Are you spending time with God? Praying, reading the Word, listening to God's Word daily really, really matters. Psalm 119:105. Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. You know, that one Psalm, 176 verses that talk about the importance of the Word of God to us, plus many, many more scriptures in the Bible, talks about God's Word. God is saying it really matters to put His Word into your life and to spend time with Him, right? And to pray and have a relationship with Him. You know, there's a principle in physics. It's called the power jump. It's the power jump. And it's when two high-tension power lines, electrical power lines, there's a picture of one, come together and become parallel. And what happens is, when you can have two power lines, and one is an active live wire, and the other one is a conductive wire, it's ready to receive power, but it doesn't have power in it yet. So whenever two power lines come together and come parallel, what happens is the electrical power can literally jump from the live wire to the conductive wire merely by that line becoming parallel to the other line. I mean, you don't even have to touch, and power jumps. Isn't that an incredible principle? They say that the electrical workers that didn't understand that principle got electrocuted or killed because they didn't understand that principle. Well, it's like so much like that in the spiritual too as well. In the same way, God's supernatural power can literally jump from Him to you when your ways begin to line up with God's ways, right? Just by starting to line. They don't even have to really touch, but the closer you get to God, the closer He gets to you. And this power can literally jump, right? When you start to line up your ways. You know, daily devotions are a way of coming close to God and lining up parallel to Him. Amen? It's so important. It happens by doing daily devotions. They really matter. When you think about Jesus, Jesus was educated in God's Word. You know, at 10 years old, those young Hebrew boys became scholars of the Word. And they were memorizing the Bible. You know what they had to memorize? The first five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch. Wow, those are long books, right? And they had to memorize it. Plus, they learned about all the not just the word, the Pentateuch, but about all the prophets, all the writings of the prophets, like Isaiah, and Isaiah 53, where it says he was led like a lamb to the slaughter. I say, you know what? Imagine. When he read those words, he was led like a lamb to the slaughter. I believe that Jesus, at that young age, understand who the lamb to the slaughter was going to be. And I believe that in his heart, he's struggling, he's wondering. You know, like these words that were written about him, and must have felt, I wonder what it must have felt for him, hearing words like this. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life like an offering for sin, he will see of his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hands. And after he has suffered, he will see the light of light and be satisfied by his knowledge. My righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong. Because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Wow, think about what he thought, what he was feeling when he was reading those scriptures throughout the time he was growing up and before his ministry began. No, this was his destiny. And he had to be strong. And even as a kid, he had to be brave. You know, and he had to realize that was the decision he had to make, step by step, to walk towards that destiny and that path that God had for him, for his life. You know, we think about Jesus. He's got to be the greatest superhero ever. This Jesus, I mean, think about what he did, the opposition he went through. Because day by day, Jesus had to summon his courage, his boldness, to face all that opposition and never give up. We think about no one went through Jesus. No one went through what Jesus had to go through. Amen? I mean, he had to go through pain and agony and suffering. And what he endured, no one else could ever have endured. I mean, they tried to do everything to Jesus, but he just would not get up. He just kept getting up and he just kept going forward. Amen? I mean, you've got to love Jesus for that. You know, and sometimes, to be truthful, you know, I feel challenged. And sometimes I feel beaten up. And ministry is not easy. We feel like giving up sometimes. And it's really hard. You know, and sometimes when you don't see the things going the way you want. And sometimes you feel rejected by people. And sometimes you think people don't like you. Not you guys. You all love us, right? But, you know, it happens, though. It happens. And it's really tough, but you know what? I'm reminded of Jesus. I remember Jesus. I remember what He did for me. And I'm encouraged to keep walking. Amen? See, a couple of points left. Everyone has a path of life to walk. Everyone has been given a path of life to walk. And guess what? It's been designed by God for you. Now this path has joy, it has rewards, you know, it has opportunities. It's full of life, but it also has things like pain and opposition and uncertainty and injustice. It's all part of that, right? But it's just really, that's just part of your story. Isn't that a part of life? It's just a part of life. I say this, that the greatest achievement in your life will not be the fact that you are the most popular person, you are the most educated person, you are the nicest person. That's not what your greatest achievement is going to be about. Your greatest achievement will be the fact that you kept walking the path that God had for you. Amen? Just keep walking the path. Even when life is hard, even when life seems unfair, even when hardship comes your way, when problems come into your life, you just keep walking the path that God had for you. You decided to walk. And secondly, so walk. Walk in such a way that you leave this life with no regrets. Leave this life with no regrets. You know, at the end of this, at the end of your life, your greatest regrets will not be about what you did, but your greatest regrets will be about what you should have done and you wish you could have won. You could have done, right? And the challenges that you didn't respond to. You know, every week here at City Light, we challenge you. We say, come on, give your heart to Jesus, right? Or get water baptized. There's a water baptism coming up on November 17th, right? Get water baptized, right? Or join a team. Serve somewhere, right? Or get on the growth track. Grow. Become a disciple, right? Or when you get down and discouraged, encourage yourself in the Lord. Don't just disappear and go into hiding and get depressed. Do what David did. Pray and connect with God and read the Word. And if you're really down, connect with God's people, right? Connect. Connect with the church. Make some friends. Join a small group. You know, gather people around you who will encourage you when you're down and they will lift you up. Amen? You know, and stay in the house. Stay in the house. You know, get connected house. Be part of the really be a part of this church. And listen, I want to warn you, and I always try to warn people, yeah, it's great that you're part of this house and everything seems to be going right now when you're fresh and new in the house. But listen, if you're really going to get connected to the house, you're going to make relationships. And at some point in your time in this church family, you're going to get offended. Somebody's going to say something. Somebody's going to do something. And you have an opportunity to get offended, right? But let me tell you, you will regret. You know, you can get offended and you can hold on to it today, tomorrow, for the rest of your life. But you will regret the moment that you made a decision to get offended. Amen? And that at that moment that you did not forgive that person and you could have just gotten over it. Amen? Can I say this to you in love? No matter what you're struggling with right now, just get over it. Just get over it. Just get over it so you can keep on walking the path that God has for you. Amen? Decide. I'm not going to let anything push me out of the place that God has for me in this house. Amen? Make a decision, no matter how hard it is, to keep on walking the path. Keep on walking. You know, and Jesus is the ultimate example. Jesus is the ultimate example of what it looks like to make good decisions today that will bring joy, happiness, well, victory into your life tomorrow. Amen? I mean, let's keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. He's the greatest example of the one who walked this earth. Here's the last scripture we're going to finish with. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3. This is the Message version. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race we're in. Study how he did it. Because he never lost sight of where he was headed. That exhilarating finish in and with God. He could put up with anything along the way. Cross, shame, whatever. And now he's there, in the place of honor, right alongside God. When you find yourself flagging in your faith, go over that story again, item by odd item, that long litany of hostility that he plowed through, and that will shoot adrenaline into your souls. Amen. Amen. So let's look past what we're facing today, right now, and let's look at the bigger picture.